looking over today's portion, something jumped out at me. Thank God, because I don't want to have to do it myself. I always want the Ruach to have something jump at me. And we see in the scriptures fear. We actually see fear in the scriptures. And in fact, there are two types of fear that we see in the scripture. Now, the first is actually a beneficial fear. And it's described through the scriptures and actually encouraged by Adonai for us to have a certain kind of fear. The second type is a damaging fear. It's actually encouraged by the world and pushed onto the world by onto us. But we're to overcome that fear. And I really want to speak about the second kind of fear, the one the world would have for us. But in order to speak about that, I have to say at least a little bit about the first kind of fear so that it'll make sense, because later on we'll see some contrasts. And that first kind of fear is reverence. It's required of us. It's required in speaking to Adonai. It's required when we're in his presence. Scripture calls for us to fear the Lord. And depending on who you talk to, it can mean a few things. Excuse me. But I believe that it's a reverence to him. And it's meant to draw us closer and nearer to him. This fear of Adonai has true benefit for each and every one of us. And we're told in Proverbs 9, verse 10, this: the fear of Adonai is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Amen. So most of us are familiar with at least some of the verbiage. If you can't quote it directly, you're familiar with the idea, you're familiar with the concept. Fear of Adonai leads to wisdom. And that wisdom leads to knowledge of who he is and improves our understanding of him. Now, sometimes people will interpret this fear of Adonai differently. And some people, you know, they get it mixed up with the fear of the world, I think, in their minds. But even then, you know, it can work for our good. Remember the fear we felt the first time we were going on a roller coaster? Man, I almost had to drag my daughter onto a roller coaster the first time. But after she got on it the first time, she had to drag me four more times to ride that roller coaster in a row. For some of us, as we grow up, driving fast, you know, it gets the adrenaline going. Maybe it's not the safest thing in the world, but it got our adrenaline going. And it, you know, it kept us coming back for more. The roller coaster keeps us coming back for more. The fast driving keeps us coming back for more. And the fear of the Lord can be that way for us as well. It can keep us coming back to him, as it should be. It's almost a physical reaction for some of us. Now there's the second kind of fear as well. And this is the fear that can lead to panic in some people. It causes a loss of right thinking at times. It causes the unright thinking, which will cause unrighteous thoughts in us and unrighteous actions within us. It's the spirit of fear that is not from him, as we're told in 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, I struggled over that word before, but the power of love and self-discipline." Now, many translations say fear instead of timidity. The Amplified Bible inserts an explanation for timidity. It says to it says, for God has given us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. I had to look up the word craven, because that means to have to spineless, weak, gutless. That's some kind of fear. This is a scaredy scared kind of fear. But sometimes our fear does not come out as a scared kind of fear. It'll dress itself up as other things to try to hide, actually, to fool us. Fool us about what we're feeling and why we're doing things. It can cause us to avoid people, to avoid situations. It can cause depression. It can cause people to lash out to others, to withdraw from others. It can look like many things that we would not necessarily call fear. Regardless what it looks like or what we call it, it has no place in our lives. That doesn't mean that we can just throw a switch. We believe I deny, therefore we throw that switch and fear is gone. Doesn't, unfortunately, I wish it did, but it doesn't work that way. It does mean that it's something that with the help of the Ruach HaKodesh, we can work to eliminate it from our lives. Sometimes we can eliminate it rather quickly. Just like the children get over the fear of roller coasters sometimes quickly. Sometimes it takes many years to get over fears. And sometimes it even takes professional help, counseling, to get over and conquer those fears. Regardless of how we act and work out on our fears, we are not to allow them to rule over our lives. We are to work on eliminating the kinds of fears that are not drawing us closer to Adonai. Now, John tells us what to do with fears that come from the world and what the differences are between the two different fears, the fear of Adonai and the fear that comes from the world. 1 John 4, starting in verse 18, says this: there is no fear in love. A perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he loved us first. Now, to place the labels correctly on this kind of fear being spoken of there, we really can read it as this: there is no earthly fear in love. Perfect love of God drives out worldly fear. The worldly fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears the world has not been made perfect in God's love. We have the difference. So here we have the difference of what the Lord's love is, or fear of the Lord, which drives us closer to him. That perfect love of God, and the world's fear, which is being scared of the punishment that it can bring. Now, actually, Scripture tells us that Adonai wants to give us only one kind of fear. That is the reverence of him. Meanwhile, Satan, through the world, wants to place on us many different types of fear. Listen to this partial list of fears that Satan wants to put upon us. Fear of not being accepted by others. Fear of being alone in the world. Fear of not being aligned with Adonai. Fear of not being on the path Adonai wants you on. Fear of not meeting expectations of other people. Fear of not meeting the expectations of Adonai. Fear, which presents itself as lack of self-worth. We have a fear of sinning. Fear, finally, fear of being weak in a world that can beat us up physically and emotionally. That's a long list of fears the Satan has as weapons against us. And that's just what they are, weapons of Satan. Most of these come down to being scared of being pushed aside, of being ostracized, and not liked by people or loved by Adonai. Can you imagine that? Satan uses the love of Adonai to put us into fear. It's the fear of being hurt emotionally, even being hurt physically at times. Make no mistake, they are weapons, and he knows how to use them against us. And we should not downplay them. We don't, you know, when we have fear, or we see someone in fear, that's not the time to poo-poo it. It's the time to help them through it. So now let's connect the effects of fear and how we see them in today's Torah portion. So to do this, we're actually going to be looking mostly at the daughters of Lot. They're never actually named in Scripture. Lot had his own fears, make no mistake about it. He feared that he wouldn't be able to make it to the mountains that the angel told him to go to. The angels, because of Lot's fear, agreed to allow him to go to the town of the city of Zoar, which was actually one of the cities that was supposed to be destroyed by the angels, but because of their mercies, they allowed Lot and his family to run there instead. Then Lot feared staying in Zoar. So he and his daughters went to the mountains where the angels told them first time to go to find a place that he would be safe. And I believe Lot's fear spread to the daughters. And so did his sin. He feared staying in Zoar. They feared they wouldn't find husbands. We see in Genesis 19, we're going to start reading in Genesis 19:30, a couple of verses. Then Lot went up from Zoar and dwelled on the mountain, his two daughters with him, because he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. So he lived in a cage, he and his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man in the land to come to us, as is the custom of the whole land. Come on, let's make our father drink wine, so that we can lie with him and keep the seed from our father alive." Isn't it interesting? Everyone had fears there. But no one feared the Lord. In spite of what they had witnessed with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the older daughter who should have been a role model to the younger daughter. Instead, led her to sin because she feared that there was no one to marry and have children with. This fear caused her to come up with the idea of going into their father's tent and to push the younger sister into the same sin. As with many sins from prominent families in Scripture, their sin would have long-term detrimental effects on the Jewish people. The result was the birth of the fathers of Moab and Ammon, two enemies of Israel. Moab's kings would later hire Balaam, who counseled them to seduce Israelite men and with their women in Numbers 25. The Ammonites worshipped a god named Moloch, putting their religious devotion involved passing their children through fire. You know, when we read this, that doesn't sound so bad. They just passed them through. There's a long pause in there. They actually sacrificed them in the fire. That's what it means by passing a child through the fire. They were not only enemies of Israel, but there were times that Israel followed their example and sinned against Israel, against Adonai. So the daughters of Lot believed there were no men to marry. What about the men of Zoar? It was a whole city spared by Adonai. They said there were no men that they could marry. What about Uncle Abraham? Wasn't that far away? It's a family that they knew in the past. They could have gone back there. Something was causing them to think the way that they were would cause them to sin. Was it due to the many traumas that they'd gone through that caused confused thinking? We don't really know how long they were actually in Sodom before the city was destroyed. Now, if it was not long that they were in Sodom, then they could have been affected by many moves in a short period of time. Some believe that the daughters lived there their whole lives, actually, and that their mother was from Sodom, and that they were born there. Therefore, they saw their only home that they ever knew destroyed. They both had lost their fiancés when the city was destroyed. They were forced out of the city by the angels. They lost their mother while they were running from the city, right? She looked back, turned to salt. They saw the whole land, four large cities and everything around them, with the exception of Zoar, destroyed all around them. With their young eyes, they saw it. And then they were moved and isolated into a cave by their father. That's a lot of drama. That's a lot of things that came against them. Just real trauma and drama. Life's drama can cause mistaken thoughts to develop and then turn to sin within us as well. Hey, you're not supposed to be going off. Okay, there's my reminder. Everyone turn down their phone. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, okay. Hold on. It's what I should have done sooner. I'm sorry. Okay. Trauma caused me not to turn down my phone sooner. Life's drama causes us to think incorrectly. Life's drama throws us for a loop, and all of a sudden, who knows what we're doing? We're sitting here, we're sitting there, because the drama knocked us and we're not looking forward anymore. Lot's daughters didn't have an example as a father figure to turn to Adonai. Lot made choices based on what he saw. We talked about that last week, I think it was. There are different things that isolate us today, which can lead to poor decisions. The daughters of Lot had traumas. They saw perhaps Lot's fears to reject and appearing to fail, which may have kept them from returning to Abraham. We don't know this, but something apparently either didn't bring Abraham to mind, or maybe Lot's own traumas said, I can't go back to a family because look, I'm a failure now. All of a sudden, everything was destroyed around me. Think of it. He was a rich man with a lot of cattle who were in the field that was destroyed with the city. He has nothing anymore. And he's got to go back and admit to Abraham, I probably didn't pick wisely going to this land in the first place, and I lost everything. Can you kind of support me for a while? That kind of trauma wasn't keeping his thoughts correct. He should have been running back to the Lord, and he should have been running back to family, but he was not. Trauma, fear, is a normal emotion. It's just an emotion built into people. Adonai gave us fear because it can have positive uses. But if left on its own or allowed to fester and not be confronted, fear can also cause us to act in exactly the opposite way that he intended it for us in him, in us. Did Adonai know this could happen? Of course he did. And he spoke of it throughout Scripture. So then the question we're left to ask is, how are we to approach fear and overcome it? First, I just want to say and make sure that everyone understands we are not to be condemned by fear, and we are not to condemn anyone else who's in fear, especially ourselves. But we are to build each other up so that fear can be a positive thing that Adonai intended in us. When we look into the Scriptures, we can see that there are at least two passages that we can see both kinds of fear at the same time. And I'm going to show you one from the Tanakh and one from the Brit Hadashah. One from the Old and one from the New. So, the one from the Old is Psalm 145, starting in 18. Adonai is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth, he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will hear the cry and save them. So 145 shows fear twice in the same passage. It shows those who fear the things of the world, right? They're crying out because they fear the things of the world, and they're turning to Adonai with the fear of reverence so that he will save them. It's as if the same person is being pulled in two different directions by two different fears. What we need to do as people of Adonai is to trust the fear of Adonai more than we're scared by the fear of the world. Give more trust, more faith, more power to the fear of Adonai than the fear of the things of the world. Does it sound easy or hard to you? Well, as you grow in faith, it becomes easier. As you realize that the fear of Adonai aligns us with eternity, while the fear of the world aligns us with this really is only in a temporary here and now. Knowing that, it becomes easier. The passage that has two different fears from Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, is the story of Peter walking on water in Matthew 14. So most of us are familiar with it, but let me read a bunch of verses, Matthew 14, 25, starting there. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, and this is not the fear I'm talking about yet, it's a ghost. And they cried out with fear. But immediately Yeshua spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. Answering, Peter said to him, Master, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Yeshua. But seeing the wind, he became terrified. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Master, save me. Immediately, Yeshua reached out his hand, grabbed him, and he said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter saw the wind. When was the last time you saw wind? You see effects of the wind, but you don't necessarily see wind. But as long as Peter kept his focus on Yeshua, he could do the impossible. Once he began walking in sight, but fear gripped him then. And he saw what he was doing, and Satan planted fears in his mind. Maybe he thought, is this really what Yeshua wants me to do? Or maybe he thought, I'm not worthy of the deeds of Messiah. And when he saw the wind, he had a fear that the wind was stronger than he was, rather than placing in his mind that the wind was not stronger than Yeshua who called him out of the boat. Peter may have had all of these thoughts racing through his mind, even as he started to do exactly what Yeshua told him to do. But fear gripped him, and under its control, he was no longer able to do the impossible. Even though fear is a natural human emotion, do we need to control it? Or else it will control us, and it will limit what we can do. Unholy fear is physically, emotionally, and spiritually unhealthy. It often manifests itself as depression and anxiety and doubt, and affects us as seen in our health, in our safety concerns, can cause financial crises, and other potentially painful, traumatizing, life-changing tragedies. Some fears are based on real events, absolutely, but many are hypothetical in that they've not actually happened yet, or maybe never will happen. We fear not just what has happened, but too many times we fear what has not happened, but what could happen? They start racing in our mind. What if this? 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 So I've got four things to keep in mind in order to fight fear. Now, the first, we are called to control fear by being near to Adonai. Philippians 4, 5 through 7. Let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the shalom, the peace of God, will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. Having a closeness to him. You go to the next slide, the title slide. Having a closeness to him will trust. Having a closeness to him will help our trust. You know how when you're close to a movie screen, the image fills your whole view? Being close to Adonai does the same thing for us. Being close to him, he fills our whole view so that we don't see the things that are scary anymore. Seeing only him will help to rid us of anxiety. His shalom quiets our minds, it quiets our hearts from the fear that we're carrying around with us. Then we find it even easier to pray. And even easier to give thanks to God. Then we will find shalom, which will guard our hearts and minds even more. It's a circle. The more we trust, the more he protects. The more he protects, the more we trust. It's a whole good circle we can get into. Now, the second thing is trust that Adonai is forever. We see it in scripture all over the place that he is forever. and his love and mercies endure forever. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of Adonai, one has strong confidence. It will be a refuge for his children. The fear of Adonai is a fountain of life, turning one from the snares of death. When we take refuge in him, he is our fountain of life that turns the things that want to hurt us in this way away from us. They're no longer in our life. He turns death and destruction away from us. He is the strong power that we run to so that death will not take hold of us. Even the things that we believe is death in this life is not death for eternity. When we turn to Yeshua as our salvation, even the death that we'll feel in our body is not forever. His eternity is what counts. You know, it's easy to say, you know, it's just for now. When you're going through it, it's really hard to say, it's just for now. But that's true about Adonai. Even our death, just for now. Eternal life is ours when we stay close to him. Third thing, trust that Adonai is the only one that has an eternal effect on us. That kind of piggybacks to what I was just saying. Psalm 56:2. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has crushed me, fighting all day. He opposes me. My foe trembles me all day. For many are fighting me arrogantly. In a day when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. O God, I keep praising his word. O in God, I trust. I will not fear. What can mere flesh do to me? Men fight against us, but it is only for a season. And they can have an effect on us, absolutely. Think back to fights that you had in your youth. They are only memories at this point. It was a season that you're no longer in, and therefore should not be able to move you any longer. What can mere flesh do to me? Yes, men pain me for a moment, which is all this life is. This life is but a moment, and we can feel pain in this moment. But the comfort of Adonai is forever. So the fourth thing is, don't dwell on what you think you need. Don't dwell on what you think you need. Luke 12:29. So do not seek what you will eat and what you'll drink. And do not keep worrying, for all the nations of the world strive after these things. But your Father knows what you need, that you need these things. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father chose to give you the kingdom. Yeshua says, don't worry, don't be afraid of what you think you need, or think what you think is important in this life. But know and trust that Adonai will give you all that you really require in this life. In fact, to go a step further, he not only is providing you for what you need in this life, even if you think you need more, he knows what you need, but he will give you the kingdom for eternity. Now, that's not to say that you will be a king, that you run the kingdom. But he will give you the kingdom for eternity. You will have the ear of the King of Kings and the love of the Lord of Lords. He will provide not just what you need now, but all of your needs and desires for eternity. So in closing, by showing us the negative in Lot's daughters, he gives us a positive lesson on fear. Who do we want to blame for the actions of Lot's daughters? Was it Lot's fault for not teaching them to fear the Lord and to trust in Him always? Was it maybe Abraham who didn't teach Lot these things? Was it the angels who came to destroy the cities because they didn't explain plainly what and why the cities were being destroyed so the daughters would understand the fear of Adonai, so that they could see the love and mercy of Adonai? Maybe we just need to place the blame on the daughters themselves for not seeing the cause and effects that were going on around them, for being terrified because of the actions both right before them and what they were living through recently. Maybe we should blame what made them afraid and not all these other things. The truth is, we are not to place blame and we are not to point fingers. We are to learn from the situations and learn from those circumstances. It was for them then, it's for us now. We are only to learn from the situations and circumstances. Don't point fingers. Don't try to appoint blame. Just learn from the things that happened to us. Let's not blame those who we think hurt us or scared us, but instead turn to Adonai and lean on the Ruach HaKodesh that lives among and within us to help us when we're afraid. Remember the call of Adonai to those who are about to embark on a new season in their lives in Israel. Deuteronomy 31:6. Shazach, be courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble before them, for Adonai your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Shazach, it means be strong. We're commanded, Shazach, be courageous. It was true for Joshua and the people of Israel as they were going forth into the promised land. And it's true for us today. They had battles still to come. So do we. They had great place of promise and they were to take it. We have a great place of promise and we'll be given it to by Messiah Yeshua. If we run the good race right to the end, trusting in faith that Adonai has not just the best plan for us, but He has the desire and the ability to protect and provide us now and for all eternity. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You that we can put our trust in You and that we know that You have our best interest for all eternity. Not just now, because our eyes only see now, but You see everything for all time. We thank You in Yeshua's name, and everyone says, amen and amen.